It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, back on the show. We'll talk women's soccer and women's volleyball in the latter part of this hour. Don Bailey Jr. with us on Saturday. Miami and Ball State kicks off 3:30. We'll be on there at 11 a.m. Offensively, DBJ, what do you think we can expect from the University of Miami?
Well, I think you're going to see the Cam Ward show continue, Joe. I don't see any reason to think that he's not going to take over every single football game, no matter who the opponent is. If he's given enough time, which he has been given, you know, Coach Mirabal is not going to stand for his offensive line not protecting that quarterback, and I think he'll be able to continue to throw for 300 plus yards a game. I think he will make runs like he did when he scored that touchdown, as even though every Hurricane fan in America who was watching it held their heart. And I think that you've got a leader that we haven't seen the likes of around here in a long, long time. And that leader also happens to be an outstanding football player. I think that you'll continue to see as many targets that are available be utilized. You know, last week, Miami threw it to 12 different receivers. And to just think about if you're Ball State today and you've got 15 receivers, I think it is, for the season, and five of those have five catches or more, who do you defend? You know, you went in last year and you knew if you took George or Restrepo out of the game, you had nothing out of your tight ends. You didn't have much out of the backfield. But this year you've got the tight end unit is on fire. You've got the backfield. Every one of those guys can catch. And you've got the distribution to the wide receivers is second to none. So if you're a specialty player, meaning a wide receiver, tight end, running back, you got to be as happy as you can be. You got one challenge on every play. Get open, and there's a good chance you're going to get the football. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it's just what Coach Dawson is doing and how they're creating opportunity for everybody. It's just amazing because, you know, you just sit down and think about it. Just look at the stat sheet. Who do you defend? You're going to defend Martinez? You're going to stack and try and stop him? Okay, they'll go to Fletcher. All right, well, we can stop the inside game. Those guys are big and powerful. Okay, we'll go to the outside. You know, it's very simple math in a lot of situations, but it's not simple if you're trying to defend it, which is creating problems. Miami's offense is creating problems for a lot of people.
I don't think this is going to happen on Saturday, but six times last year, Ball State held their opponent to under 100 yards rushing. I doubt that will happen on Saturday. I think we're going to see at least two, maybe three quarterbacks, probably not Emory Williams. And the reason for that is he's pretty much scheduled to take a redshirt, as Shannon Dawson explained at his press conference yesterday at the Heck Center.
It's tough. I mean, look, I went through it as a player, and I've done it multiple times as a coach. And so I just think that, you know, having those discussions early help, because if you can eliminate some landmines along the way with things, especially when you know it's going to be a challenging year for a kid, but if you can give them some, hey, this is what it's going to be like, you know, so that way at least they have some understanding in the lay of the land. And so we had a lot of conversations early in camp and really throughout the offseason about, you know, what the plan was going to be for him. So he knows exactly what the plan is, and I talked to him at the end of every week. He knew, like, in that game, I wasn't going to play him. And so, you know, he was fully aware of, I'm completely transparent with all of them about what their role is and what they're going to be doing that game. And so there's going to be games where we activate him. Yeah, obviously, we have four, right? And so, but that will be communicated to me from Coach Cristobal and then down the chain of command. But, you know, Emory's handling it great. Like, his attitude's great. He does a great job of practice. He's had a great camp. And, you know, I know that older kids are better players. And so, you know, it wouldn't be very smart for me to waste a year on a kid with his talent level for no apparent reason, right?
I asked Mario the same question, but, you know, you'll see what happens around college football. It's a pretty crazy week on, you know, on Saturday. NIU beats Notre Dame. Do games like that just kind of upsets help you guys reiterate your players, like, that there are no easy teams, there are no bad teams, that, you know, if you're not sharp in every game, you can get beat?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a good reminder. I mean, it doesn't look, you don't have to look far for those reminders, to be honest with you. I mean, you look across the nation, and heck, when we got done with our game, I mean, LSU and Nicholas was a 3-point game in the third quarter, right? And so Cal beat Auburn at Auburn, right? And, you know, there, some of those teams were 35 to 38 point favorites, and they're in a dogfight. And so I just think that the margin of error in college football today is razor thin. And if you don't come with your A game, you don't prepare the right way from Monday through Friday, then you could get knocked off fairly easily. And especially when people have a bullseye on you, you know, and you know you're going to get their best. And so, you know, I talk to the offense a lot about just playing the game, not the name. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. If you prepare Monday is Monday, Tuesday is Tuesday, and just focus on, hey, these are the plan. This is the plan for this week. These are the plays. And let's get as good as we can get at them and execute them and understand the situations and understand the scheme the defense is going to be in certain situations. All the rest will take care of itself. I mean, the issues come when you really, if you look at those games, there's more of a, hey, I lost, there's a fine line in games like that. And I watched the Notre Dame game this morning. I got it here and I put the game on and I watched the flow of the game. Ultimately, there's a clear line in the sand of when they lost focus, you know? And so, and when things like that happen, you have to have older leadership. There's got to be something there to pull it back together and refocus. Because it's hard to get the train back on the track when it comes off. It just is. Like, we've all been there. And it's nothing that, I'm not talking bad about them or anything. I'm saying, heck, we've all been in that situation. And so it's a good reminder for guys to stay focused in the moment, because ultimately the loss of focus is really the key. And once you lose it and you try to get it back, it's hard. So the key is don't lose it, right?
Hurricanes offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson, his comments on Emery Williams and also about how you don't drop your guard in a game like this against Ball State. This is a fun little nugget, Don. Ball State, they have a cornerback, Kyle Kelly, who's from Tampa, who last year started their last six games at quarterback and was their second leading rusher. He ran for 724 yards, and he threw for 577. When he was in the game, they ran for 235 yards a game on the ground. Now he's playing cornerback for them.
Well, I think you're going to see him at running back or at quarterback or getting offensive touches on Saturday. I mean, you look, just take what you said, and how do you let somebody, I have him listed on my chart as a backup corner, do you let somebody that is that potent of an offensive player sit as a backup and corner? I think that there's going to, and I don't think the young man will want to sit, but I also think that there's a spot for him to get touches on the offense, whether, I don't know, is it, what's it going to be in? Is it going to do special formations for him? They're going to put him in at receiver. They're going to put him in at quarterback. They're going to put him in the backfield. You know, I just believe he's going to get touches, Joe.
Well, we shall find out. Caden Samunza is their quarterback, and he accounted for all five touchdowns last week, or for five touchdowns. He threw four and ran for one.
Yeah, pretty big day for him. I mean, you start off as a redshirt freshman. I think the best thing they did for him was that, you know, last year they played him against – they played him in, I guess it was three or four games last year and let him preserve his redshirt, but they played him in either the Georgia game or the Kentucky game, and actually I think it was both. And you let a young man like that go out on the road – and have to deal with the crowd, and you have to deal with an elite conference and elite football teams. And, you know, those games probably count as five games, you know, when you really think about what he learned about the speed of the game and how precise he has to be in his snap count and his play calling and making sure that he's directing traffic. And I think they did a good job. And, you know, you look at what happened. Take, for example, we're just talking about Emery Williams and the possibility of him being redshirted this year. Well, they played Samonza last year and to the point where he was able to still keep his red shirt. And now look at him. He comes into week one last week, and it's four touchdowns in the air, one running touchdown. And he went from having a bachelor's degree last year to having a master's in quarterbacking in college football this year. And that stuff pays off.
Yeah. And in terms of Emery, going back to Shannon Dawson for a moment, he played six games last year.
Yeah.
So if you don't need him this year, if you, you know, okay, a lot of people want to know who's the backup quarterback. Well, really, the whole season, the season's writing right now on Cam Ward. And God forbid something would happen or did happen, then you'd have to open that up for competition between Emery and Poffenbarger, because Judd Anderson is, you know, I think, you know, just learning right now. And you know what you have in Emery Williams. He did play a year ago, played against two very good teams, Florida State and Clemson, won one and had a chance to win the other. So there's something about him that you cannot overlook. Sometimes quarterbacks find ways to win, and that might be him. That is to be determined. And he can play four games. You just don't want to burn those four games early in the season.
Well, like, I think the rules are, and I could be wrong. Somebody should probably double check, but I think you can play the four games, and then you can get into the bowl season or playoffs, and I think you can participate in that too. I don't know that those affect the four games, and I would appreciate if somebody would confirm that. But that's what I understand, and you know, but you look at Emery, and first of all, he gets it. He understands the whole big picture, and I have seen him improve every single week since spring through spring, and also in the fall. And you know, he's benefiting as much or more than anybody from Cam Ward. He's learning how to be a leader from Cam Ward. He's learning how to run an offense from Cam Ward. Completely different styles, completely different personalities, but that doesn't mean that you can't learn. And he didn't have a mentor. Now he's got a mentor, and I think the great ones, as you've seen, and we talk about with the group that won a national championship in 1989. You know, who were the guys in 86, 87, and 88 that helped those guys, and what did the impact did the 89 seniors have on the national championship team of 1991? So. You know, that whole mentoring portion of football and that whole to not be in a rush to get out of the college and run to the NFL, it usually pays off. And I think we're seeing the benefits of that, of this football team right now, whether it's Jalen Rivers or it's Cam Ward. I mean, both of those guys right there had a chance to test, put their toe in the water to the NFL, and they came back. And I would think that as of this second, it helped Jalen. And as of this second, it certainly has helped Cam Ward. And the same thing goes true for Barron, you know, what the kind of game that he had. Look, you don't think that the tape that he's put out there in game one and game two isn't going to help him in the NFL? It certainly is. So, you know, if you got a cool head about you, which Emery does, and you realize the big picture and the long play, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, big weekend coming up. We've got the reunion on Friday and Saturday. Kickoff 3:30 on Saturday. We'll be on the air at 11 a.m. With countdown to kickoff. And I'll see you Friday for the big reunion on campus at the University of Miami.
Yep, we look forward to it, Joe. And have a good evening.
All right, that's Don Bailey Jr. joining us. Still to come, Ken Masura, University of Miami women's soccer coach, joins us next. Canes will play Virginia on campus on Thursday night. Let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac. Easy to find, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Check out the inventory, which is new almost every single day, but you can check it out online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Williamson Cadillac is Miami's luxury dealership. It was founded over 50 years ago, and Ed Williamson, his lovely wife Carol, they just keep churning it out year after year after year because their customers are their friends, their neighbors, and ultimately they've built such a loyal client base because they stay focused on the customer experience that everybody is treated and feels like family. You're going to get world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac. It could be the CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, or the all-new electric Lyriq. You want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac? Well, do it from your luxury dealership located on US 1 just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, back on the show. Joe Zagacki with you until 8 p.m. University of Miami women's soccer team has a new coach, Ken Masur, and off to a pretty darn good start. Pretty successful run through the non-conference play. One of the most successful runs that Miami's had in recent history, riding a three-game winning streak, longest winning streak since 2017. Offensively, significant improvement there. Miami has scored 8 goals in 6 matches. They scored 11 games throughout the entire season last year, 17 matches, only scored 11 times in 17 matches. On Thursday, Miami will take on Virginia, and Virginia always has an outstanding program. So we welcome to the Hurricane Hotline Coach Ken Masur. Coach, good evening. How are you?
Sir, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Very good. Thank you very much. Coach Masur comes to the University of Miami from Vanderbilt. Great success at Vanderbilt. Why was this a good opportunity for you, Coach? Why was the University of Miami the right stop for you?
I mean, I think, you know, it comes down to having an opportunity to really compete in one of the best soccer conferences in the country. And with a program that, frankly, has underperformed, we felt, for quite some time. So, you know, you have the ability to come in and affect change pretty quickly with a group of players that are hungry for a different experience. It really was, you know, a dream job for me.
You clearly have changed the style, a lot more offense with the team so far. Let's discuss a little bit about what your vision is for the way you want your team to play.
Yeah, I think it comes down, first thing, you want to recruit players and have players in the program that are, you know, tough, competitive, hardworking, and coachable. And, you know, we want to find good players and help them, you know, on a path to greatness. And for us, it was really kind of instilling a personality in the group early that we wanted to be on the front foot. We wanted to, you know, play with the ball on the opponent's end and create chances and create, honestly, a really exciting brand that, you know, people want to come and watch.
Now, you recruited very well, a couple of local players that played a significant role for you in the last game, and then the transfer portal. You've also worked the transfer portal very well.
Yeah, it was important for us early when we got the job here to find players that had NCAA tournament experience. You know, we found a number of players that, you know, wanted to spend their fifth year, their graduate school year, in Miami, surprisingly enough, right? It's an unbelievable place to live and work and play. Yep. So, you know, it was really important for us to find those players that came from winning cultures and could bring that. And, you know, while we were, you know, teaching some of the younger players, what it takes to win. You also have to have players in there that know what it's like to do it as well.
Olympic sports inside the ACC are very, very good and very competitive because of all the schools that are involved in the ACC. When you analyzed Miami and took a look at the program, what were some of your thoughts on how you could try to level the playing field with the likes of Carolina, who's a national champion, Florida State's a national champion, Stanford's been a national champion? That's a tall task. What were some of the areas you thought, well, maybe if I can do X, Y, and Z, I can maybe tilt the odds a little bit in our favor?
Yeah, great question. I think, you know, coming down to South Florida, you very quickly realize that Miami can stand on its own. And going into the conference, we realized pretty early that Miami has the ability to stand on its own and do something different than anybody else. And if we try to recruit like Florida State, try to recruit like, you know, Duke and Virginia and those guys, I think, you know, we're setting ourselves up for, you know, a place where, you know, we're just not there yet. So what I wanted to say with our team and with the young women that we brought in is let's be our own thing in the league. Let's be the team that everyone has to change for and be the hardest game on the schedule to prepare for. And if we were going to be able to do that, we could find some success down the road.
I think what you also said earlier and one of the things we discussed, and we're in the changing world of college athletics, but you can still offer your student athletes a great opportunity to compete and also a great place for academics as well, which in all the discussions of whether it's football, basketball, baseball, in college athletics, I think the academic part starts to get lost a little bit.
I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, we're a top 50 school in the country. When you combine that with an athletics program that, you know, is committed to winning, I mean, you walk around the facilities here on, you know, in Miami and in Coral Gables, you'll see that, you know, there's a lot of people and a lot of folks in this town that want to win. And, you know, it's for sure we just have to get a little slice of that and show that it can be done. And once we do that, you know, I think you're going to find, you know, University of Miami is going to be a great place for women's college soccer in the future.
Yeah, but and you're also getting the kids that want to take advantage of the academic opportunity of the University of Miami.
Of course. I mean, you know, there's not really a better place, you know, in the world that has exactly what we have. I mean, we're one of one. We're an incredible city. We have the academic component. And, you know, it really, the opportunities for some of these athletes to do internships in town and to be a part of, you know, a really vibrant city are endless. And so, yeah, we're going to lean in on that and we're going to, you know, compete with some of the best schools in the country too, but, you know, get to do and work and play in paradise.
Ken Masur is with us, University of Miami women's soccer coach. What's the recruiting landscape like for you in South Florida?
Are you talking about, you know, local prospects or having players come in?
Well, the local prospects, what kind of area is this for? You've got high school soccer, club soccer, and Dade, Broward, Palm Beach County. How does it measure up with some of the areas where you've recruited in the past?
Yeah, good question. I think there's a lot of high school programs here that are incredibly passionate. I got to see a bunch of high school in the wintertime, which I wasn't used to. So me and my staff got out to watch a number of games, and you can see that there's a local flair that everyone brings. And certainly, you know, within the club environment here, you have, you know, some of the best coaches in the country in this area. So, you know, I hope to be able to capitalize that on a little bit more. I mean, we have two freshmen in Giovanna Canali and even Sage Carey and CC Alarcon who are local products within 50 miles. And I'd love to be able to keep some of those players here more
Canale's,
often.
Canali's an electrifying player. She's really had an impact on your games. And she also gets the crowd riled up as well. I think they love watching her play, and she brings a lot of energy on the field, and then the crowd responds to it.
Yeah, I mean, she's a passionate player, and her culture brings that. I mean, you're talking about a Brazilian culture that lives and breathes the sport. And, I mean, to be fair, we couldn't ask for a better ambassador for the sport right now in what we're trying to do. I mean, when she scores goals – She loves to get the crowd involved, like you mentioned. She comes over and gives high fives to the coaching staff and to her teammates. And, you know, I think, you know, the sky's the limit for her.
We talked about your offense, how you've improved the offense and putting pressure on your opponent, but your defense has been very good so far as well.
Yeah, I think it's a mindset, right? I mean, we have players in the back that are, you know, just super committed to doing the dirty work without much fanfare. I mean, they're willing to get stuck in and tackle and fight and scratch and claw for everything. And, you know, frankly, we're going to need that over the next 10 matches if we want to make a dent into the ACC schedule.
Now, let's talk about that a little bit. First, before we talk about the rest of the ACC, your first opponent up Thursday night at home on campus, Cobb Stadium. Virginia comes in, and they were they are currently ranked number 4 in the country. So big challenge on Thursday. What does Virginia bring in with them to the dance here?
I mean, they have a lot of players that have international experience. They have a lot of, you know, top-ranked players in the country that are in their team. And I think, you know, for us, we want to show that we can compete with that. And again, like, when teams come to play us at home, we want it to be the most unfriendly environment possible. So, you know, I have to say that the crowd that has been here the last few games has been unbelievable. And our players feed off of that. So, you know, if we're going to make Cobb truly a hard place to play, you know, we need the support of the students and certainly the fans in South Florida.
And then the ACC in general, the ACC is stacked. I mentioned Carolina, and you got Florida State and Stanford, but you go up and down the ACC, you're going to see great players in every match.
Yeah, shouldn't that be what it's about, though? I mean, we want our players to compete against the very best, and that's why they choose to come to the ACC. They want to test themselves against the best players in the country and figure out where they stack up. It's the reason why I came here with our staff, and it's what drives these players. I mean, good players want to compete against the best with the best players next to them, and I think we're starting to see that happen for us here.
You've done a good job with your chemistry. You mentioned the transfers coming in combined with the young players. How were you able to get them all to gel together?
Yeah, I think that really is on our captains. You know, Julia Edwards, Skyla Klein, Reese Wheeler, and Adriana Cerner did an incredible job for us moving into preseason camp. And, you know, I think I mentioned before in another medium that, you know, when I walked into a team dinner, and it was like I was walking into a, you know, grade school cafeteria that they've known each other for 10 years. It was really exciting. And I looked at my staff and I'm like, you know, we might have something here. And to be fair, like, those are going to be the things that they're going to rely on in big moments in games, right? Who they're playing next to, who is picking them up when they need it, who's giving them a pat on the back when they need it too. And to their credit, those captains worked their tail off to make it happen for us.
A quick sidebar, I guess. Anson Dorrance retired before the season started, the coach of North Carolina. Maybe everybody in our audience might not be completely familiar with his legacy, but he steps aside. What do you think he meant to women's soccer?
I mean, I think, you know, Anson, there's not many coaches in the country that don't have one of Anson's books or have read one. Yes, sir. I think in a time where women's sports started to take off, he was in a position that provided an outlet for a lot of women to compete at the highest level, and brought out, you know, a lot of things in the man watching that, you know, historically weren't celebrated for women's athletics. You know, it was competitiveness, it was hard work, it was, you know, grinding every single moment, and they did it without, you know, worrying about all of the things that came along with it. They were doing it in mismatched uniforms and rolling off of vans. And in some respects, I think, you know, one of the things that we want to instill in our team too is a sense of humility in that not everything's going to be given to us. We all have to work for every little thing that we get. And if we're going to be able to do that, again, it puts us on really good footing with a lot of teams in the country.
Well, welcome to Miami. Your team's off to a good start, playing a nice brand of soccer. Big one on Thursday. Conference play starts, and we hope that everybody will pack Cobb Stadium for you and create that environment that you want Thursday night at 7 o'clock against the University of Virginia. This is your debut on the Hurricane Hotline. Well done. Thank you for being with us.
Joe, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
All right, I'll see you on Thursday. That's University of Miami women's soccer coach Ken Masur. When we come back, Kano Gandara will join us. Kano will talk about the University of Miami women's volleyball team. They just took down the number one team in the country. We'll talk with Kano as we continue right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
University of Miami women's volleyball team had a huge win on Saturday while Miami was playing the FAMU, I guess. They were taking down the University of Texas. Joining us is University of Miami coach Kano Gandara. Kano, congratulations. Always great to speak with you, whether it's in the hallway at the Hecht or here on the phone. And congratulations on the victory against Texas and your 200th victory. Was it your most significant win of your career?
Thank you, Joe, for having me. I have to say so, Joe. Obviously, when you look at the circumstances and the match, the environment, the team we have, the team they have, and the fashion we came back to win, I mean, even if it wasn't my 200th, it's a win I would have remembered forever.
Yeah, that's definitely a collector's item. Take us through this victory over Texas, because you trailed in this match, and you're playing in Austin. They're the number one team in the country. Take us through the circumstances that led to the victory.
Well, it was a kind of a roller coaster match. You know, we played well at times and we hung in there, and then they play well like they normally do. And I told our team that it was going to be a heavyweight fight. You know, we were going to be about surviving for a while, the ups and downs of any match. And try to play for as long as it took. But, you know, we had a good spring, and as I'm putting my schedule together, I felt like we had some of the pieces that would take to compete against a team like that. And I believe in our team and our players, and obviously we know the ending. But different matches. I thought the first couple sets, like I said, we played for a while, and they ended up winning the first two sets. And the third set didn't look promising, and we try to get different people out there with some good energy, maybe some more defensive skills, and change the outcome a little bit, and it paid off.
So you're down two sets on the road, and you've got to win three in a row against the number one ranked team in the country, which is almost unheard of. I would say that was pretty fantastic. Was there some place during that match where you said, I think we're going to find a way to win this thing?
No, it was a point to point. You know, we were down match point, and we were in this big comeback, and it turned out that we were down 1 point down. I think I forget the score, like 23, maybe 26, 25 or something. And we hit a ball that kind of rattled through the block, and one of those plays that kind of seemed like a lucky play, but it went down and we tied it. And from there on, we kind of got a second win. I never thought it was ours. Even in the fifth set, we had to battle. Those guys have good players, good coaches, and you're never safe, as we saw in I think it was game. I can't remember what game, but they were ahead and they came back and tied it and became a battle. So,
is there a better feeling than celebrating with your team in the locker room? We saw the video. You got sprayed there pretty good with the bottles of water. Probably not a better feeling for a coach, right?
Yeah, they got me good. I got a coach called Coach L and get some tutoring or lessons in the dances. But I got to work on my game. But, no, it's fantastic, and that's why we do it. You know, you remember the days when you were in the locker room with your teammates, and I remind them how special it is, and it was great to be a part of it.
All right, Grace Lopez put the match away for you, had the winning kill. She had 20 total kills in the match. Tell us a little bit about this sophomore that played so spectacularly well against Texas.
Yeah, you know, she started a little slow, and she had incredible numbers at the end of the night, but one of them that hardly gets mentioned, she only had 3 hitting errors in a 5-set match. That's unheard of. And her composure as a sophomore under that pressure against those team, that those players that are, you know, obviously super physical, it just kept coming slowly but surely, and I'm sure she'll tell you every swing was a battle. It was not easy, and I'm really proud of the way she managed it all, because it was critical, as you see.
You also have a junior, Flamari Heredia Cologne. She's one of your leaders in kills, and she's been playing outstanding volleyball for you.
Yeah, Floor had an incredible spring. She's been a very complete player from day one. That we've asked a lot from her every year, and she's finally you know, mature some and develop, and she's managed her game way better. So she's been a force every weekend, every match, kind of giving us pretty standard numbers as well as some stability to serve, receive, and defense. Becoming a really good blocker and just a really powerful hitter that is fun to watch.
Can you discuss with us a little bit about what your philosophy is for your team when they're playing like a champion, like they did the other day? We got a long way to go in the season, but maybe what do you want your team to be known for?
You know, I've always wanted my teams to be known for a really hardworking, competitive team that is well prepared and just fights the whole match, you know. This group has some experience, have some skills, and if anything, has been more about just reminding them that during the week is where we get the work done. You know, we got to get find the confidence and the skills in during the week, and all we want to do on the weekends is showcase what we've done and just kind of take away a little bit of the pressure from the expectations or any get too far ahead of ourselves. But they've been responding really well. But, yeah, this group has a lot of fight in her and them, and we've been tested a couple times already, and they responded with composure and good control. So I've liked what I've seen.
Yeah, well, you're not afraid to be tested because you're going back on the road again. 3 weeks in a row on the road. Now you're going to go to Ohio. And you're going to face Ohio State. As if that wasn't enough to play Texas, now you're going to face Ohio State. You got Rice State and Buffalo. But Ohio State's got a great program as well.
Yeah, and that's part of the plan. You know, we want to travel some. We want to get familiar with some of these facilities that are, you know, tournament type against good opponent on the road. And this by far will be the toughest match of the year, I think, after a big win and in a tough environment, and we're really excited for it.
This might be a bit of a crazy question, but coming off the Olympics, there are a lot of eyes on the Olympics in the summer. A lot of eyes on the women's volleyball team came up a little bit short, but how much do you think, or does it help your sport at all? Do you get a bump when the Olympics come along because more eyes are on women's volleyball?
Yeah, I think so. You know, indoor and beach volleyball, we get a boost from the exposure for sure. But it's incredible the amount of players, young women that are playing volleyball these days, and the level of play at a young age is really amazing. I mean, in the last 6-7 years, it's been off the charts.
Yeah, I don't want to salute another program, but just to talk about the popularity, you know, Nebraska, I guess it was last year. It's kind of like similar to hockey, right? The hockey NHL, they have their winter festival, and they play play games in these outdoor arenas and to enormous crowds. And Nebraska tried that in volleyball last year and played in front of, like, what, 190-some thousand fans in their football stadium.
Yeah, I think it was 92,000. And you know, what's interesting, after that match, there were several volleyball matches that were played in large basketball arenas with, you know, 16, 17, 18,000 people. And that was the record until Nebraska pulled that off. And they went unnoticed. But it's happening really often around the country where people are going to watch volleyball.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think I'm going to come up with something like that for you. But more importantly, next weekend, you'll be home with the 305 Challenge that includes Arkansas, Texas Tech, and FIU before traveling up to Florida State.
Yeah, we're excited. The girls are excited to be home. We're trying to keep them centered on the next opponent, but we can't wait to play at home in front of our fans. You know, we had some upgrades in our facility, and we're excited to share with our fans. But, yeah, I hope a lot of people listening and a few more get to come join us and pack the night.
Yeah, because that night center, first of all, it gets noisy, and secondly, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a great environment. And then, in order to have a great environment, you have to give them something to cheer about. And you're always playing; your teams are always playing at a high level at the night center.
Yeah, thank you. That's what our focus. You know, we want to compete hard, and we believe that if people are going to enjoy what they see, and all we focus about. Is just our play and trying to provide the good show. So,
you also hit the transfer portal, right? You had three, Ava, Dahlia, Paula all came in, and they've done a nice job for you in the first five matches.
Yeah, definitely. They've been a huge addition, you know, not only as players, but as people. Ava and Dahlia came in the spring, and they adapted really well, and we made a lot of progress with them. And Paula's been incredible addition to our team. The way she's a senior, super mature and adapted, and have accepted any role that we've given her, and she's getting better and better. She was a key factor, obviously, on Saturday.
200 career wins for you, Keno, and you've really built something special, I think, at the University of Miami for women's volleyball. You've been able to not build teams, you've built a program.
Thank you, Joe. It's been a blast. You know, I think back when I often tell recruits why I was here. You know, I came here because of the opportunity to bring incredible student athletes and the competition in the ACC. And the ACC just keeps getting better, and the U gets better academically, and the city is a wonderful city. But yeah, just having the opportunity to coach athletes, the athletes that we can bring here, and have the staff I have and I've had in the past. And just it's nice when you love what you do for a living.
Yeah. ACC is going to be quite a challenge again, right? This ACC, as we mentioned in women's soccer, in women's volleyball, the ACC is right there battling the Big Ten.
Yeah, I agree. And I think these days everybody has good athletes, and I think in the ACC we have good, you know, historic programs, but we also have good coaches, and any given night you're tested, and that's why we love it. But yeah, we had already a strong conference, and now we add SMU, Cal, and Stanford, and it's going to be a fun ride.
And you get Cal and Stanford this year at home. You also get Louisville at home, Florida State home and home with them. So some of the top powers you're going to have inside your gym.
Yeah, and if you see the rankings are out, and there's several ranked teams. So, like I said, we're excited to play at home some of these matches, and hopefully we can travel our game and do some damage on the road as well. But, yeah, looking forward to that competition.
And I should mention, you are in the rankings. You are in the coaches' poll. You are number 20 in the country. So a big salute for that. Your team is ranked.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a while, but it's a tough feat to get in the – in the top 25, I think, these days. But, yeah, we're excited to defend that number, that ranking.
All right, Ken. Hey, by the way, what did you think of football beating the Florida Gators? You know about that rivalry a little bit. How about that win over the Gator?
Oh, my God, it's a good time to be at Miami Hurricane. And congrats to Coach Cristobal and their staff. But we got to keep it going. No pressure, though, right?
Yeah, that's right. Got to keep it going. All right, listen, the best of luck this weekend in up in Columbus. Come back with a couple more wins, and congratulations on beating Texas and also on the 200 career wins. That's winning is hard. People don't understand. Winning is hard, and you've got 200 of them. So congrats on that.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. That's University of Miami women's volleyball coach Keno Gandara. He does a spectacular job. Thanks to Ken Masur for joining us, Don Bailey Jr., Mario Cristobal. Trevor Harris has been our producer. Rewind is on tomorrow night. So if you missed this tonight, hey, guess what? We rewind it tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday, we'll be with you beginning at 11 a.m. with a 3:30 kickoff from Hard Rock Stadium. Good tickets are still available for that one, so join us at Hard Rock Stadium, won't you? Also, you can stay connected with the Miami Hurricanes wherever you go. Download the official Miami Hurricanes app today for live game updates, exclusive content, and more, including this show and all the play-by-play available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. So don't miss out. Get the app and take the Hurricanes with you wherever you go. For Don Bailey Jr. and Trevor Harris, I'm Joe Zagacki. Have a very pleasant good evening.